Lecture 20, The Peloponnesian War, Part 2.
Welcome to our 20th lecture in the series on Greek civilization. In our last lecture, we were looking at the early stages of the Peloponnesian War, and in our account of that first 10-year phase, the so-called Academian War, we paid a good deal of attention to the policy of Pericles and to the position of Pericles in the Thucydidean narrative, the account of the war that we have from a witness of the war and a participant, the Athenian general and historian Thucydides. We saw that the policy of the Athenians in the war was essentially defensive, at least at the outbreak of the war, with the Athenians pulling in behind their walls, bringing their people and their property inside, relying on their navy to support them, while the Spartans, in traditional fashion, came in and devastated the Athenian countryside. This policy, this defensive policy we saw was the work of Pericles, and we further saw that Pericles assumes a dominant position in the narrative of Thucydides. It is Pericles, for example, who warns the Athenians not to attempt to acquire a larger empire. Fateful words, because of course at the end of the war the Athenians will be undone by their attempt to win a second empire in Sicily. Not only is he important in terms of the strategy that he articulates early in the war, but it is also quite clear that Thucydides really saw the war, a turning point in the affairs of the Greeks, as a war that, in a sense, was the child of Pericles, that Pericles was both the embodiment of the best of Athens, and that it was the death of Pericles which really turned the Athenians in a new direction. So he is intimately bound up with the Thucydidean interpretation of the war. We paid attention particularly to the funeral oration. We saw that in that, Pericles is allowed to articulate sentiments that express the Athenians at their confident, daring, individualistic best, and that, on the other hand, with his death, and particularly with the plague, we see Athens at its very, very worst. The plague triggers off all sorts of not only physical ills, but social ills as well. And this juxtaposition of Athens at its best and at its worst, I've argued, represents Thucydides trying to think through the problem of a society that has a strong sense of the ideal but cannot quite measure up to that ideal in reality. With the death of Pericles, the leader in Athens who will come to the fore is a man called Cleon. And during the rest of the Academian War, down to 421, it is the Athenian Cleon and the Spartan Brasidas who will dominate the narrative. What's interesting about this contrast in Thucydides' account is that Cleon and Brasidas, in some ways, are birds of the same feather. They are both vigorous commanders, they are both quick to act. And yet there is a fundamental difference between them. It is that Brasidas, this vigorous commander, knows very clearly what he is doing, and is inspiring his men, the Spartans, who are naturally cautious. So there is a sort of antithetical relationship between the leader and the led. On the other hand, Cleon is quick to act and often does so completely impulsively without a clear sense of what direction he's going in. And furthermore, he's leading people who themselves, in Thucydides' mind, are quick to act and impulsive, namely the Athenians. So that rather than acting as a restraining influence on the Athenians, Cleon is really giving them free rein and allowing them to, as it were, have their head. The problem with this, for Thucydides, is that it will lead to disaster. The two men will both die in 421. Brasidas will die heroically, Cleon much less so. And what we've had marked for us by the end of the Academian War is the suggestion that the Athenians, unless restrained by a figure like Pericles, face disaster simply because of their own overactive nature. That is what will lead to the final disaster in Sicily. The Spartans, on the other hand, it's been suggested now with the figure of Brasidas, have the potential to beat the Athenians, not simply because of their resources, not simply because of their discipline, not because of their manpower, but if they are led by someone who can inculcate that spirit of daring, they will be more than a match for the Athenians. So as we enter the second half of the work, we do so with a strong sense already of the patterns that Thucydides has seen at work and which he will try to tease out in his story of the Peloponnesian War in its second phase.